Hello and welcome to a series of specials of my podcast Helium Talk. I call them the isolation episodes, and for these I'm speaking with people from the art world about the current situation we're all facing these days. I just want to know how artists and gallerists from different countries are dealing with being locked down. For this episode, I spoke with the artist Ben Venom in San Francisco.
So where
are you right now?
I'm in my studio in San Francisco, California. My wife and daughter just woke up probably about 10 minutes ago, so they're in the room next door, so you might hear a little bit of noise from there. But we're locked in, not going anywhere for a while, like the rest of the world, sadly.
Yeah, how are you coping with that?
We're coping pretty well. I'm trying to stay positive. We do go outside for walks, and we're trying to do our best to keep, like, what they say here in the U.S. is 6 feet distance. But, you know, most people are observing that. The only thing I would say with here in San Francisco is that the sidewalks are kind of narrow in our neighborhood, so it's a little difficult to keep that distance when you're trying to pass somebody on the sidewalk sometimes. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, everyone's pretty good about that. Aside from going to the grocery store, you go to the grocery store, it's a little bit more problematic, but, they're still trying to figure that out a little bit now. So, it's been okay. It's not been great, obviously.
Well, same here. It gets, especially now we have springtime, or like very early springtime, but it's just clear blue sky. It's the best weather we've had so far this year since last week. Basically, it's like nature trying to tell us something.
I know yesterday was really nice here in San Francisco, and it looks like it'll probably be pretty nice again today. So, but yeah, it's painful to have to sit inside when the weather's really nice out, but, you know, got to do what we got to do for everybody else. It's, our governor here in California recently was on TV saying to just be, you know, don't be selfish, as in don't go to the beach with another, you know, 300 people, do your best to kind of try to like keep distance and, you know, be aware of everybody else's space also. So, you know,
you just opened an exhibition at Hashimoto, right? So just like week into this.
Brilliant timing.
So they closed, I guess?
Yeah, the gallery is closed. They're by appointment only, but I would even say that, like, I know they've been over there once or twice, but I'm not really too concerned about it. I'm basically of the opinion, like, don't worry about it. Unless it's someone that you know is 100% healthy, don't go over to the gallery. It's fine. It's, you know, there's bigger things to worry about right now. But yeah, my show opened. It's a dual show with the artist Alex Ziv. I'm a huge fan of Alex Ziv's work, and he is someone who does primarily painting. But our work, I think, goes together really well, even though the mediums are completely different. We have a lot of similar interests. We also went to the San Francisco Art Institute for art school. He's a little bit younger than I am. He's about, let's see, how old am I? He's like,
keep losing track already.
I know. It's
slipping. Yeah.
I think he's like maybe 11 or 12 years younger than me.
All right.
But he's someone who, from an artistic standpoint, has definitely like already been in the game for a while. So he's kind of weathered the storm a little bit. But yeah, the show is called Wherever I May Roam. It opened, I think, March 7th. And then that was on a Saturday. And then, let's see, within a couple days after that, I think our mayor of San Francisco decided to do the shelter in place, which is basically a lockdown. Yeah. And it's my understanding that San Francisco was one of the first cities in the United States to put that into effect, which is a good thing. I think the only flip side to that is that we're probably going to have to extend it because since we were first, then all these other cities have kind of come behind us, that we're not going to be able to fully open up until everyone else is safe also. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, which is fine. But yeah, so it's kind of bad timing for the gallery opening, but people did come to the opening and we were doing our best to wash hands and not be too social within that respect, if that makes any sense.
But you were all healthy. I mean, you and the staff.
As far as I know, everyone's still 100% healthy. I've been in contact with Dasha, who mm-hmm. runs the gallery. I've been in contact with Ken Harmon, the owner and director. And then coincidentally, we also just opened a show at the Fort Wayne Museum that Ken Harmon created in partnership with Joseph Zimmerman. So that's in Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is like in the middle part of the United States. That opened, what is today? Today's Monday. I think that opened last week. That opened last Saturday and the museum was closed already. So they had already shut the museum down, mm-hmm. but the good thing was they already got it all photographed. Mm-hmm. So, and it was a group exhibition. So artists like Shepard Fairey, Dennis McNett, Swoon, Michael Reeder, AJ Fossick, me, I think it's like around 11 or 12 artists, pretty solid show, mm-hmm. but unfortunately it opened to nothing, but I think they're going to extend it though, but that's, you know, sign of the times, no big deal. It's fine.
Yeah. We got to see how this pans out. We had a show coming up at the gallery on April, opening April 3 with a live concert and everything. Pretty big. I am part, you know, in an exhibition in Denmark on April, I think end of April, which is also probably not going to happen, at least not in that mm-hmm. way, especially now, even though, I mean, Denmark is just around the corner from here.
Right.
All borders are locked, you know, so right now you still get everything across. I mean, except for people with the wrong passport, it's a weird scenario when you're just thinking. I mean, we had this very liberal open border Europe for the last, you know, decades, and that went pretty well. And now this, like, every country is trying to protect itself, which is, everybody understands, is not an act of war or anything, but it's just like so weird, you know, sort of. And it's getting closer and closer. So right now I'm looking into the community that we have, like one of the most important artists, but the oldest artists we were most closest with and that need most support to find something to do around, you know, April 3 instead. Mm-hmm. I think that's something a lot of galleries are thinking about. But regarding the planned shows, we're just waiting how this pans out, and then everybody's going to find a new schedule somehow, you know?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I've been hearing also. And what I've also kind of heard about, and I think Hashimoto might be doing it, is some type of like virtual tour. Yeah. So like if you or like Melbourne went to the gallery and then, I don't know, had like a video camera, and then it's like the two of you guys mm-hmm. talking about the exhibition, talking yeah. about the artwork, talking about the artists, and then post that online, like nothing like, not like virtual reality, even though that would be pretty awesome. But, you know, something in within that realm where it's just like someone can log on, kind of like what we're doing now with the podcast, yeah. log on to some kind of, maybe even like a live feed. Mm-hmm. And then I know Evan from Juxtapose they're just starting to do that. They had an artist go live with the Juxtapose Instagram account just the other day and doing like a little like watercolor tutorial. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of doing these little events that, and then they'll broadcast it live or record it and then put it up online for people to mm-hmm. see, which I think that's an interesting thing to do regardless of us being locked down. Cause just like these, like the podcast that you do, these interviews for me are always really interesting because I kind of want to know what other people are up to day to day. Like, you know, we see their artwork, we know them to an extent from, you know, following them online, on social media, looking at their website, reading their interviews, but to see them in person, like not necessarily in person, but online speaking and kind of more of like a free form atmosphere, I think is interesting because you get a little bit better feel of who they are and their personality and also, you know, kind of their studio setup. I'm always interested in people's studio setup. Mine is getting cleaned up right now. It's actually still a mess. Like right behind me, you can't see, but the floor is a total mess. So I'm going to try to finish that up today, hopefully.
Yeah, but that's in your place, right? So you don't have to.
Right. Yeah. I don't have to go anywhere, which now is kind of like, it was a really positive thing having my studio in the back of our apartment. And then when my wife and I had our daughter, Beatrice, it became a little problematic because we could definitely use more space, mm-hmm. you know, but then it's also, she's always running in and out and I don't want her to get in here and grab something that's like dangerous, you know, like a knife blade or something. So it's like, we're trying to like be aware of that. But now that we're under like this imposed lockdown, it's good because I don't have to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I like having it in our apartment because I don't like to have to travel a far distance to be able to work. And then that kind of cuts down on that, or it allows me to work a little bit longer. So mm-hmm. I can just walk down the hallway and work whenever I want to, even if it's just for like 20 minutes. Because, you know, you being a father, you know how things are when your kids are younger. It's you take 10 minutes if you can get 10 minutes, you take 5 minutes if you can get 5 minutes, you know.
Yeah, we're trying to juggle with that situation here as well. I mean, my wife and I and our youngest is still living with us. Melvin is partly living with us, you know, partly living with his girlfriend right now. They're basically bunkered up at their place. I have no studio at home and not necessarily space to do that at home, except for tiny work, small works. But I'm, you know, sort of I'm dividing my time up now between so many things anyway. For me, it's more time. I have more work to do now than I actually had before all this, because before all this, I could be very egoistic and work on my book and work on my own pieces. And Melvin was running the gallery. And now the setup has changed so much that we're trying to find out how we best, as a gallery, how we best, you know, what should we do right now? You know, so like we're going into the online, supporting that and all these things, looking, communicating for me is, for example, is very important. I mean, one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast is because I think it's very interesting for other people to hear what like people like in San Francisco or in Tokyo or wherever they're working in the arts community, what they do right now. You know, it's not about seeing that artists are poor or whatever. It's just a general, I mean, this is my perspective. Right. I come from the arts, so I'm talking with artists and gallerists and I don't know, curators and whatever. But trying to do this now on a very regular, I mean, this is like the fourth recording I'm doing in a week, trying to come out like every second or third day because things change so fast as well, is also my own personal curiosity to find out, you know, how other people thinking right now, and having the great opportunity with the podcast to post it. But there's another element I'm doing right now. I call one of my friends or, you know, people I work with, you know, sort of at least one a day, just, which is something you hardly do otherwise, but it's just so much nicer to call someone and ask, so how are you holding up? And just trying to figure out how you know, what people are doing. And that's so great. It's also, I mean, what you just mentioned, you know, like the thing with how can you, of course we can, not every gallery or not all the galleries can just go and do any virtual shows. And you cannot expect that you probably have like 10 people that watch that or have 10 or 100 people. It depends. But it's something that we're thinking about as well. And we said, well, I mean, if Melvin and I do the opening together, because we're family, we can, you know, so we stay together most of the time anyway. So we could do this, then that could be a nice thing. And we still have time to think about that. But we'll set up my studio situation is different because I have the gallery and my studio here in Hamburg, and I can still go to work. I can drive with a bike. It's not very far. So I have my space to work there. And now since yesterday, it's clear that we're not on a complete lockdown so that I can still go to my office. But what I cannot do is I cannot go to my studio in the countryside. because Hamburg is a state. It's basically just a city, but we have 16 states in Germany. And Schleswig-Holstein is the neighbor state where we have our house in the countryside in the middle of nowhere. Oh. And they locked out everyone that is not primarily living there. So even though I have property up there and my studio up there, which is much nicer to work in, where last week when I left, I left a lot of things there too. Mm-hmm. And now I'm prohibited from going to my own house and to my own country, to my own, you know. That's kind of weird, yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of strange. So far, like at least here in San Francisco, like we are under like a lockdown, but like I talked to my buddy, him and his wife came by the other day. They're in their car. They parked their car out front of our apartment, and I walked out to talk to them. And you know, my wife and I, we don't own a car, so we haven't really been out and about in the city that much at all. We've literally just been like in our neighborhood in the Haight-Ashbury. But my buddy Randy and his wife were like, "Oh yeah, there's like a ton of people out at the beach," and I was like, "What?" So it's like San Franciscans, you know, Californians like to be outside all the time because the weather's nice pretty much year round, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like if they were to like lock down each little neighborhood in San Francisco, I think people would revolt in some fashion. Cause I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's like we're under a lockdown, but yet people are still out and about as if they're on holiday or whatever. I think not entirely, but kind of. You know,
I mean, that's what they try to prevent up north in Schleswig-Holstein, because it's also a holiday state, like they have coastline and everything. So many people do their holidays there. And then when the schools closed, I bet a lot of people thought, let's go there and make vacation. But that's a different thing. I mean, I have a house there that I'm building on the land that we own as a family. It kind of needs maintaining and needs caretaking. Mm-hmm. When there was a storm, parts of our roof blew off just before I went there. So you kind of have to always look into it, you know. And it's also a social experiment, you know. I mean, I understand all the aspects, but how do we get out of this? As I mean, a lot of people are very positive about, you know, everybody's, you know, sort of affected. There's no differences between rich or poor, but they are still there and they will still maintain afterwards. People will not be rich that were poor before. It's just a social thing. How do we work closer together? And there are good things that I'm seeing right now, but there's also this, you know, sort of when you start to get too protective locally, you know, and when you say, okay, you from that city, we don't want you here anymore right now, but like in 2 months, please come back. You know, sort of spend all your money and holiday homes, or you know, so please ask local builders to build on your house. And I mean, I'm fairly fine with the whole thing, you know. But I mean, it's just like, will I go and look for contractors now up there, or will I say, well, now I'm taking contractors from Hamburg? Sorry, guys, you know, we didn't know Hamburg at that time, but things like that. I mean, is that you know, so a lot of aspects that we haven't even thought about, you know, that will come up. Yeah. But I mean, let's not get away from. I mean, I'm a little bit pissed that I can't go to that studio right now, because it's also much nicer up there, you know, to be there, and you have much more space. But, you know, so I mean, I think we're as a family pretty good at coping with the whole thing, you know. But it's the same here, of course, that people went outside before. Now it's only allowed for two people together go outside, or if you're a family, of course, you can go with your kids. Like if you're five in your household, you can go out with five people. And I think the atmosphere is something that, I mean, you probably see that the same if you're going outside, and as an artist, you're also somebody who's, you know, sort of kind of looking, I mean, personally, a lot of my art is about society and how we, you know, sort of, you know, interact and behave with each other. It's got a lot of impact in my work. So, I mean, I will not make Corona paintings or woodcuts, but it will definitely influence me a little bit. Do you see anything of that going into your work? Are you also thinking about, I mean, because your work is also political and, I don't know the right word, but it's engaging, you know, or you're engaged.
Well, I think for me, the initial thought I had was, I've always tried to have the art that I do have a strong functional aspect to it. So now looking at our current state of affairs, this idea of like making things that are artistic, hopefully artistically interesting, but almost more importantly for me is also the idea of it being functional. It's like utilitarian. You can use it for something. It's like a blanket. It's a jacket. You can wear it, a pillow, or maybe even a face mask of some kind at some point. So I think that, you know, using the tools that you have to make your artwork, but then able to kind of adapt it to what's going on right now, I think is interesting. Because I've seen online, there's calls out for people that have sewing machines to do this or do that. And I'm starting to look into it a little bit. I haven't made a face mask yet because everything that my wife and I have read from within our government says that if you don't have this one type of face mask, I think it's like an N95 or something, then it's really not going to do a whole lot for you. Mm-hmm. So I can't make that particular type of mask that they're recommending that we have. Mm-hmm. I can only make something out of cloth. And so it's like this weird thing. You hear one thing, these one people say, yeah, you should wear this mask, or then this other kind of site will say, no, it's not worth it. So it's like, I don't know which way to go quite yet. And I think it's still a little too early to figure that out as far as like, are people going to start producing these cloth masks? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to do that and then that not be the right thing for other people to be wearing. So
yeah, I think if you're making this from your perspective as an artist, it can also be a statement. I think the mask can be a statement. You see the first people in Germany now starting to wear masks. It's very few people. Mm-hmm. But I've just been thinking because I have a wood shop with all the tools and equipment. I got masks anyway, right. And I got also got like really heavily protective masks from spray painting and stuff like that. All the things that I have in my workshop, and I brought some home because I thought maybe it's a good idea when we go shopping we just wear them, you know, because it's just also a sign of, you know, of what's happening now and see how people react to that and make it more common, give people more confidence to do that. Because I'll think also some people will say, no, I'm not doing this because it's weird, you know? And I think these things have to become more common now. And I know that if you just make it from cloth, it's probably not being very protective, but if it's a Ben Venom mask, it's also a statement in a way, you know, because you can make the mask into a statement. But
yeah, I think before it was always like fashion over function. Mm-hmm. I think within the last 2 weeks it's now starting to merge to function over fashion. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter what it looks like as long as it is like functional. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of more where I'm coming from is like, if I were to make some of these, I want them to be correctly functional in the correct way. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe if what it'd be good to see is if like, I know there's templates out there, but like you have a template, but then you send it to somewhere and then they kind of were able to insert some kind of filter within mm-hmm. the cloth mask or something. I don't know. The other thing is it's like, I haven't had a whole lot of time in the studio since this all started, even though we've been stuck in our apartment, mainly because we've both just been keeping an eye on our 2-year-old daughter, just cause, and it's been a little difficult with that just because she can't go to the playground.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, and then like everybody else, everyone's routine and their schedule is all of a sudden one day just got completely, mm-hmm. you know, wiped out and everyone's trying to get onto a new schedule. And so we're still trying to catch up within that. So I have been able to work a little bit, but surprisingly I've had actually way less time in the studio since this whole thing started.
Sure. I mean,
Exactly.
That's what changes the whole thing. A friend of mine who I interviewed last week, Rune Christensen from Denmark, he also has a little girl now, and they're kind of splitting up their time a little bit, and then there's playtime and then there's time in the studio, and he's right now, you know, sort of producing one work after the other, and it's probably also his way of coping with it, you know, mm-hmm. and dealing with it. For me, I have started to make some backgrounds, you know, and that's just for me, this is a very, very early, very first step of anything I'm doing, because the final work is in the carving and in the building, because there's there's no real time to focus and concentrate on that. And it's also like when I'm at home and my kid asks me to play something, I immediately switch to that because, you're small and little and they don't understand the situation, you know, it's just very hard to comprehend. We're walking now. I mean, Maxime is 9 years old, so he understands a little bit more, but he's still a little kid. So when you explain him how to behave in public and how to move around people, things like that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so when people are looking at him scared, when he comes chasing up the road with the street. And good thing is what we just went out, Maxime and I, and we took his basketball with, because he plays basketball. There's no sports at all sports clubs, everything's closed.
I know.
There's one place where there's one hoop outside that you can basically still use because it's not locked down. It's not a playground or anything. And we just went there and people go out of the way of little kids right now because they try to find this, which I all understand. It's very hard to explain those kids. But I mean, if you have a two-year-old, right? Or no, it's, yeah, okay. Two-year-old. And your wife, does she work?
Yeah, my wife works for an artist. She's the studio manager of an artist that's based here in San Francisco. The studio is closed down indefinitely until this clears up. But like she is still working from home. Her normal schedule would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, she would go into the office, and then Thursday and Friday she would work from home. But now she's just working from home. She has her work laptop here. So after we're done with this interview, I'm leaving my studio room, and then she'll come into this room and then plug in to the, cause we have like the Ethernet cable, and she has it. I have like a desk for her to work in here. Mm-hmm. So, and she'll try to get some work done, but yeah, it's a strange thing. So we're like today, we're kind of going back and forth, and then she'll work for a while. And then our daughter still does like a 2-hour nap. And then at that point, we will both probably be here in the studio because I have to start working on another commission piece that I got long before this all started.
Yeah.
So I got to try to do that soon. But right. Sorry, go ahead.
But there's nothing that's been canceled so far. I mean, all the projects, the jobs that you have.
Yeah. Stuff has been canceled. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some big stuff I had coming up that has, it hasn't been 100% canceled, but if it does go through, it probably won't be for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And which was, it's just how it is. It's no fault of theirs, no fault of mine. It's just one of those things, but it's still difficult to kind of go through that because at this point now I have two part-time jobs. One of them, my boss emailed just the other day. He's like, everyone should probably file for unemployment because he doesn't know if he's going to be able to keep the shop opened after 2 weeks. So I don't know what I'm going to look into that. And then the other part-time job, I'm thinking that they probably just won't hire me back because everyone's just going to shrink their staff. So,
is there support from the government for artists as well in the United States, or is that self-employed people? No, right?
Not really. People will probably disagree with me on this, which is fine. But my assessment as far as the United States has never really supported artists like what you could get in Europe. Mm. In my opinion, that's been my opinion. Not to say that there aren't, grants and scholarships and funding you can get. I just think it's just different here than in other countries. Obviously every country is different, but as far as like the other thing that's going on right now is like our representatives are trying to figure out what industries to bail out. Like the airline industry wants $50 billion bailout. The car industry wants some other gajillion dollar bailout. Mm-hmm. They're trying to dump like all this money into the stock market. And I, what does that mean for me as like, cause my wife are, my wife and I are both artists. We both do not work for large companies. Mm-hmm. And so right now the US government is trying to keep these large companies afloat, which literally does nothing for us. The only thing that's kind of come through that has been that may be beneficial to us is they're going to delay student loan payments. Mm-hmm. So we can kind of just delay, like defer that for a few months, but I still have to pay it.
Yeah.
You know, and then like our taxes are due, were due April 15th, but now they're pushing that back to July 15th. But yet again, I still have to pay my taxes. So, which is going to be really difficult because if no one's able to go back to work in a month, then like I'm way less likely wanting to file my taxes, you know. These are things that are all happening literally right now, like today. These decisions are being made. So
Yeah, and also look at the galleries. I don't know. I mean, they can probably try to sell online, but I mean, I don't think that, you know, sort of that is a solution for every gallery, and also not in the the amount that we would need right now.
Plus, you know, galleries, like artwork is something you want to go and experience in person and see. It's, you know, like a painting by you, like one of your paintings or one of your woodcuts, or you need to appreciate it. It's like, it's tactile in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like you need to like kind of see all angles. But I know that museums are definitely moving towards these like virtual reality tours at some point. Like that's already been happening.
Yeah.
So, which is interesting, but it's still good to go to the institution, go to the museum and actually walk through yourself. So it's definitely strange times, but I think that people we have no choice but to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just I was thinking about it the other day for people like us within the art world is, you know, it's just another way to adapt. It's, you know, we just kind of move towards a different kind of model, as how we produce work, how we sell work, how we operate as artists, how we look at the world. It's just another change, which unfortunately, I don't want to say I welcome that change because it's come from a kind of a pretty very bad place.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. Yeah,
a horrible virus that's affecting the world. So it's I have mixed emotions about it.
Yeah,
you know.
But I mean, it's the thing is that, I mean, sales in the art market, except for maybe the upper 1% galleries and the big fairs and everything, hasn't been as good as before 2008, since basically before 2008. Yeah. And there have been people looking, including me, looking for new models and different models. And I had a very, very tough time with Helium Cowboy after that. I think in 2010, I had to let go of my last employee at Helium Cowboy. We still had to do one fair in that year, but that we couldn't cancel and couldn't get out of. After that, everything just went, you know, sort of down the drain, and it was very, very hard. And I, you know, sort of, I've basically been looking into the eyes of bankruptcy with Helium Cowboy for a long time, and always fighting and trying to keep this up. And sometimes, you know, my wife was saying, who exactly are you doing this for? You know, all these artists, you know, you're sure about that? You know, where does your social commitment comes from? Just, you know, start to look for yourself and into your own stuff and stuff like that. But basically, you know, sort of, I love this so much that I fought, and now I'm just basically, you know, for a few years I'm back on my feet and it's going back, but I'm still trying to figure out how to actually make money with this and are there different ways. So if this, you know, sort of will help to clean up the market a little bit, you know, sort of make the oversaturation that we're also suffering under get more focused again, but also. And I think this is not about the artists that should change or the galleries that necessarily should change, a little bit, yes. But I think it's about clients. We need different clients. We need clients that are convinced to buy online when they see something that they like. Mm-hmm. And it had been a buyer's market for so many years that if you go out there, and I mean, with Helium Cowboy, we've been showing artwork that you cannot get anywhere else, and that was highly sought after before. And you know that yourselves, I mean, your strongest works will always kind of sell, but now there's a mark where people can go to the gallery and say, let me think about that, you know, and if, you know, sort of, and then they think about it for 3 months, maybe, sometimes, you know, and that's the time span that can decide about, you know, a gallery closing and an artist deciding to do something else. So I think maybe if these things are now, I mean, it's not a main focus, but maybe if people now say, okay, I want to buy this work because this is just the way to do it, because mailing everything still works.
I'm
offering this to people. If you buy a piece of work now, I go to the gallery, we wrap it up, we ship it out. It might take a few days longer, but I mean, still. And so maybe we can work on that a little bit, you know. And but I mean, Hashimoto, they are, I think they're pretty well set up in regards to the online and
they have like an artsy page, but you have an artsy page too.
I canceled that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, perfect timing. I canceled it last year because I wanted to have the marketplace, online marketplace in-house again, because I always felt more comfortable with that and much better. And I've been looking for systems to change that. And then all this happened, and all we got online at Helium Cowboy are PDF portfolios of the artwork that we currently have there. But we're changing this week and over the next 2 weeks. And then we're back in action, but not with Artsy. Artsy is too expensive. And it's just, it's also a victim of the oversaturation of the market. It's like every gallery, and so many galleries are on there now. And also, seriously, I would love to send around the email that the CEO of Artsy sent around last year to calm the whole market and all the industry and all the galleries down. But all he's talking about with the measurements of Artsy are to make Art Basel more visible, the large art fairs. They recommended artists that have already at the top of their careers. They are talking about galleries like Hauser & Wirth and Gagosian. They're not talking about Hashimoto. They're not talking about Afterforce Gallery in Hamburg. It's like, it's not their market. We're not bringing enough money in there. It's like, we don't have the volume. We pay the lowest fee for this just to be present. We're just prisoners of this kind of commercial concept. And then we say, oh, great. Oh, we just sold the work to the United States. That's pretty cool. And maybe we cover our costs. But I'm not in this business to cover my cost.
Yeah.
I mean, who goes to work to cover his cost? You know? So that's just bullshit. And so that, for me, that was a decision because, you know, sort of when we started with Artsy, we were one of very few galleries in Germany. We were the first gallery in Hamburg to be on that platform. And then it kind of still worked. Also, we were probably one of three galleries in the world having Victor Castillo on there. Now it's like 20. It's like every artist, like a young artist that is very popular right now, Jordi Kerbeck, for example, that is like, I think 20, 30 galleries in the world are offering his works. And then you can go around and say, okay, where's the cheapest one? What's the best one? What's the closest one? And things like that. And I think it's more about personalizing it again a little bit for me. But I mean, just me thinking about it. You know.
No, I think that's a fair assessment. The thing about Artsy, like what you're saying, it's like, one artist has like 20 galleries with them online. Like, yeah, if I go onto my Artsy page and look, it's like this gallery is offering the same artwork that this other gallery is. It doesn't it needs to be like cleaned out somehow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you could buy a piece from me from this gallery, or you could buy the exact same piece from another gallery that might be in another country. So what, that doesn't make any sense.
But I mean, that's just simply what happens, you know. I mean, you get work for an exhibition that's been with a gallery in the States. I get this work, we put it on Artsy, and then I see it's there three times. It's still with Jonathan Levine, it's still with Marikanovsky. It's maybe with a gallery in Italy. But actually, guys, it's here with us, you know, and so it's very confusing, of course.
Yeah, it's they need to clean that part out. Yeah. But I think you're speaking about more kind of just keeping it more in-house. That just means you have more control over it, which is always a good thing. I think if you just keep releasing more and more of your control over how you run things, then you're not going to be able to do what you want to do when you want to do it. And that can always be problematic, especially from a business model. Aspect too. So
also, I mean, this is the thing, is that we were in a transition phase right now where also Melvin was taking more and more and more. So now, of course, we're in a phase where we have to work very closely again. It's me in the driver's seat more or less again, because I have all the experience, and also I'm still the CEO of the company in a way. So we're just kind of going through this together. And but, you know, so it's about enabling him or enabling your staff, you know, sort of to be able to work with all these things and elements. And the way we did this with Artsy and with other things that didn't, that was not really, as I said, it's better for Artsy than for my staff or for me as a CEO. And yeah, this is with a lot of things. I mean, it's, we've seen this in social media. I mean, I don't know how important Facebook is still for you. I mean, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah,
I guess I post on it like periodically, and
yeah, but it's like, it's, you know, so it's not helpful anymore. In the beginning, it was good, you know, you should send out invitations and people will actually come, they click on there that they would come, but now it's just,
yeah, not so much anymore.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, and now we're all doing Instagram, and
right, which is owned by Facebook. So
yeah, sure. It's just another way to do it, and. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think a strong website and strong online presence also, I mean, the art will always be a business where you interact with few directly that actually make the business. Right. I mean, you can have 100,000 followers on Instagram. Probably 50 are buyers, are clients, are real clients.
Right. Yeah, it's like quantity over quality. You want to try to move the quality up with the quantity.
Yeah.
If you can. And it's kind of more speaking to what you're talking about, is this kind of this idea of like, obviously this is the worst time to bring this up, but like personal contact with people, you know, like a in-person conversation, which obviously we can't have in mm-hmm. the current state of affairs, but like, you know, going to the gallery, going to the artist studio, or if you can't, doing a podcast where it's like a one-on-one, you're in Germany, I'm in the United States, like things like mm-hmm. this are important to have that kind of more close interaction with people, as opposed to just like throwing an image out there and, you know, hoping that someone takes the bait, you know. Yeah. It's more about like, oh, well, I want to go speak with this person, I'm going to go talk to them, not just like diarrhea of whatever out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I think the social media thing is like another weird kind of tool to navigate in that respect. It's just like a strange. It can be beneficial and it can be not beneficial sometimes. So,
do you have strong online sales with the galleries you work with, or personally? I mean, you just said you also have like. Items people can actually use, like clothing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Is that something that can keep you afloat now?
I have no idea. My honest answer to your question is I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I really don't know if it can keep me afloat moving forward. I would say that as concerning online sales through galleries, I don't know the exact percentage. Like how much of my artwork is being sold via like Artsy or via this. I do know I have had a few sales that came through Artsy via a gallery, but I don't know what the percentage of that necessarily is. More in the last like year or two, I've been doing a lot of commissions. So that probably came from people seeing, like most likely came from mm-hmm. people seeing my stuff online and then they contacted me directly. And then I, as a commission-based piece, like that's been happening in the last like 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, but moving forward, I have no idea at this point. I think everyone's in a holding pattern mm-hmm. as far as like what they want done, like concerning buying artwork or concerning commissioning, just because, you know, if they're going to commission something for a restaurant or a business, like that business might not still be opening, or it might have to be closed in 1 or 2 months. So I think things are going to get, unfortunately, pretty interesting come the summer for mm-hmm. everybody. I mean, they're already talking about postponing the Olympics, which I think they're going to have to.
Yeah, they're going to have to do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
They canceled the European Football Championship, you know.
They did. Hey, I mean, look at Liverpool. You got, if you're a Liverpool fan, you're just kicking yourself right now. I mean, Jurgen Klopp has got to be beside himself at this point.
Yeah.
And you know, the Bundesliga was getting pretty competitive. Finally, you know, Borussia Dortmund and Borussia Mönchengladbach are coming up on Bayern Munich. Mm-hmm. So I'm disappointed. You know, Hamburg, you guys got knocked down back to the below league.
No. There's a Hamburg. There are two teams. I'm the team that's has been in the second division most of its time. It's St. Pauli. And we were pretty, you know, making fun of the other team, HSV. And we won both. I mean, it's for them, it's the second season that they're in the second division in the whole existence of the club. Last year they went down. And this year, this season, we won both games. The game at home in our stadium and then the away game at their stadium, we won them both. So we're we're calling ourselves city champions. but our season was just very mediocre, and it was partly pretty bad as well, except for, you know, like these two wins and a few others. But we were just picking up, we're starting to pick up, and we're starting to get a run going and getting team players back that were injured for a long time. And so, but it's from it's very I'm very amazed by your knowledge of the German Bundesliga. You know, in America, probably not very common, you know. Heads off to that, but it's Mevin and I were avid followers of the NBA, you know. So we talk about sports every day, and we watch all the game, not all the games, watch a lot of games, basketball, and of course football in Europe and in Germany and St. Pauli. And we're just like, what should we talk about? You know what Melvin did? Because I mean, he's a sports junkie, not just himself being a basketball player, but also like watching it and following it all up. He just started to watch the 2010-2011 championship of the Dallas Mavericks again, the finals. Just, you know, sort of have that basketball atmosphere in the background, even though that's something. I mean, everybody copes with this differently. Do you have any recommendations or suggestions for other artists that are, you know, probably more insecure?
So I know that, like, I think Evan from Juxtapose was trying to put out something about, like, you know, documentaries to watch. I think they'd probably put that up on their site. You know, one of my favorite documentaries, like, and it's within my friend group, was Painter's Painting. It's like a bunch of painters talk, like Andy Warhol's in that. And, you know, it's released many years ago, but it's pretty funny. It's kind of funny to watch now because, you know, a lot of them are so full of themselves, and they're just like smoking a cigarette in their studio, this massive New York studio, just talking just tons of shit. Like, I don't even you know, maybe I'll go and put another little dab of paint here later. I don't know. You're like, oh God, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. But,
everyone's got a lot of time on their hands to, you know, watch some good. I'm a big fan of documentaries. So, and I also listen to a ton of podcasts. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of good podcasts out there. I kind of got addicted to true crime podcasts, which is kind of dark, but, one of the best ones one of the best all-time podcasts, especially for creatives, is called TED Talks, which you probably are aware of, like TED, TED Talks.
Yeah.
I think it's technology, education, design. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, you were just saying films, documentary, it's not a documentary, but there was this great movie about Jackson Pollock. It's been a while, but that was an amazing film. I look it up. I put it in the show notes of this podcast. So, I mean, yeah, that was really, really great film about that time as well.
Netflix has one with like Gerhard Richter, which is, I actually think it's kind of funny too, because he shows up to the studio one day. He's like, it is not happening. He's like, I can't, I will come back later. It's like,
Yeah, I know.
You have that luxury, pal.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's for artists. I mean, for as an artist, I think it's always nice to get this kind of perspective on how artists have worked in a time when it was. I mean, this is only, you know, so very famous artists that have a little bit of documentation, that actually real time documentation. Now, all of us, if we would collect all the videos and all the stories on Instagram and all the images and everything, I mean, we can make a documentary every 3 weeks, basically. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's a different time, but yeah, that's true. All right, my friend, I'm happy you could make this.
Yeah, thank you for being flexible and of course having me on again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, recommendation also to listen to the first one from last year, right? That there was different circumstances, and yeah, it was good talking to you, and I hope you just, you know, stay safe with your family and everything, and then I don't know, maybe next year I can come out to San Francisco and we can have a beer together in public in a bar.
And well, are you drinking beer that has alcohol in it now? Because like last time we did our interview, you're drinking non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah, because of the time of the day, you know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You know,
I do drink beer with alcohol.
Okay, good. Well, go have a beer. You're welcome. You're welcome to San Francisco anytime. Please come. Please come visit. Please be safe, all you and all your family. And thank you again for all the support. And again, thank you for having me on the podcast and sending me all that stuff. Oh, hold on one second.
Oh yeah, t-shirts.
I can find it.
Yeah, I sent Ben some t-shirts last year from Helium Cola. Yeah. That's a good one.
So I posted this online and I got a ton of comments from this, which I thought was pretty cool.
That heavy metal t-shirt from our 5-year anniversary show in 2008 or so. Yeah, yeah. King Drips was the artist who did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. You know, so you got time to work with those things now.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. I hope to talk soon and
keep me updated on things and stay healthy. Be safe. Thank you again.
Well, thank you for listening today. I will be back with more talks shortly. If you have any questions for me or my guests, I'm happy to hear them all. Just send me a mail to hello@heliumtalk.com or a direct message on my Instagram @heliumcowboy. Stay safe and healthy and take good care of everyone around you. Helium Talk.